Dear white men, you're fucked. You're being replaced because none of you have children. Even those of you bitching about the replacement online like little girls don't find the gumption to fuck. I see white men bragging about having 5 kids as if it's an achievement. Lol. 5? Lol, lol. Ha ha ha, I guess. Per year, right? Oh! All you white boys lost control of your women, and now they won't accept multiple wives anymore. Now they tell you they don't want any more kids. One's enough, honey. They don't want to do their God-given job anymore. They want Instagram likes instead. So your genetic potential is stumped by the whims of some singular female. A female who takes 9 whole months to grow a single baby. Other races have multiple ovens for bread. We're not cucked. But some bitch is screaming at you about loyalty and you're sitting there saying, yeah, baby. Jerking off to porn when she's asleep or maybe cheating with a side bitch. Condom on! Oh no, I couldn't get another woman pregnant. My wife would kill me. Total fucking losers. Soon your race will be nothing more than a few pages in a history book. I'll listen on what happens when you fuck the female psyche so hard they're obsessed with money and social media as opposed to being one of the many bee factories for a king. 3 children minimum dons. White people? Go talk to your best friend wife about what to do this weekend. Maybe you can take a nice walk around IKEA. Enjoy extinction. Signed with love and dignity, Andrew Tate. We've got a lot to talk about here on Nightly Offensive. My name's Elijah Schaefer. And are the white race really as bad as Andrew says? Are we going extinct? Are we a bunch of bitches? Or is it the fact that the Jews have destroyed Western civilization? Maybe that's not it. Maybe we just are sadomasochists and we invited the third world in because we liked our girls to get blacked on the streets and gang raped by migrant gangs. I don't know. Or maybe we are just a bunch of pussy ass bitches, like Tate says. We're going to talk about this, plus what's happening with NPR proving the absolute shift towards liberal bias, the move to censor creators like Tim Pool on YouTube, as well as talking about so much more here on another episode of Nightly Offensive. It is approximately 10:10 p.m. in the United States. Let's start the show. Like I said, my name is Elijah Schaefer. We've got a great show for you today. My guest to talk about this and so much more is one of my colleagues from the Gateway Pundit. She is a content creator, a visionary, a show host. Sharika, welcome to Nightly Offensive for the first time.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's just bring this up. What do you think about this of non-white people just coming off the bat saying white people are screwed? I mean, is that an accurate assumption? Is Andrew overall correct or where is he wrong?
Here's my thing. The only thing I have to say about what Andrew Tate said is I do agree that white men have stood around while black men like Andrew Tate rape your women, pimp your women, turn white women into baby mothers. Because, you know, even black men going to Asian countries, you see the Asian women becoming the face of baby motherhood as well after dealing with the black man. So that's kind of the only part I sort of agree with him. But his overall delivery is ridiculous because, again, he himself is trying to impress the white man. You know, who else is he trying to impress with all his money and his wealth? Because let's be honest, the men in Africa, we know what they built. And we know what they provided in terms of a viable society that works and protects the women and children. So, he himself is a cuck who wants the approval of the white man because he's always pandering to the conservative side. And we all know that conservatism is mostly dominated by successful white people, white men. And the legal system was built by white people. Black people made recording studios so black men could go screech Ebonics and jump up and down on a stage. And the white man built the judicial system so that we could lock away predators and people that murder people. That's the difference. And here's Andrew Tate trying to get conservatives to like him and retweet him. He knows what side he panders to. So he too is a cuck, or whatever you want to call it, that loves the white penis. You know,
that's a pretty bold statement there. I mean, that's like dropping the mic. No, so here's the thing is I have a slightly different assumption, but I from your perspective, I don't want to discount it, because it is important to know that even if the black men were building the recording studios and the white man was building the judicial system, the Zionists co-opted both and have now controlled both of our societies and made us slaves to their system, which is to be parasitically extracting the wealth from our countries and getting us involved in foreign wars. And I know this stuff is spicy for people to talk about because they, you know, don't like to discuss it, but let's be real. Look, if Andrew's going to be real on his opinion on white people, we're going to be real in our opinion on black and white people. Let's not leave the Zionists, controllers out of this either, because realistically speaking, birth rates are down universally around the world. This isn't exclusively a white problem, and we're going to be discussing this and so much more here on Nightly Offensive. We're going to be dropping the hammer to find out, because I know Andrew and Tristan. I talk to Tristan sometimes. I don't talk to Andrew. I like Tristan a lot. I really do. He's Christian. I don't like how right-wing influencers are getting into Islam, but there is so much to break down about this cuckery, and it's weird because now Ben Shapiro is the one defending white people again. Before we jump into that, I want to give a huge shout-out to one of our new sponsors for today. Let's talk about Man's Edge. Guys, I want to talk to you about this amazing new product. Let's check this out. So if you're feeling drained and you're experiencing unwanted weight gain or simply lacking energy, trust me, you're not alone. The world is absolutely falling apart, and the modern lifestyle is taking a toll on testosterone levels. I got my T levels checked. Surprisingly, they're pretty high for the current average. I know that's shocking, but they're still about half as what they were about 50 years ago. And that's normal, but that shouldn't be. There's hope though. I'm introducing to you this product called Man's Edge, not asking you guys to edge. It's from Neutronics Labs. It's the ultimate solution for low testosterone. It's got powerful ingredients like fenugreek, NO2, and IGF-1, which is the key ingredient. Man's Edge offers a whopping 46% increase in testosterone levels, plus its patented liposome delivery system ensures up to 98% absorption. A lot of products have these big claims, but they don't absorb, just like you could have a lot of iron or protein, but it doesn't absorb directly into you. This has maximum absorption. And here's the best part. Buy one bottle and get any IGF-1 product free with AutoShip, saving you an amazing 50% off. Visit tboostnow.com, the link's in the description, and unleash your true potential with Man's Edge today. Again, that's tboostnow.com, T-B-O-O-S-T-N-O-W.com, for this amazing deal today. Check it out, link's in the description. Again, get your testosterone levels up, and we need them up. All right, my guest today, Sharika, before we talk about this, like I mentioned, if you're just joining the stream, you and I are colleagues at the Gateway Pundit. We are commentators, and I think it's funny because, you know, a lot of people like myself don't really like listening to women's opinions on politics. I'm just going to be honest, because a bunch of them are bitches, right? They really are. And a bunch of them are bitches, and they always end up turning out to be, you know, it's always these men's right activists and stuff that end up becoming the greatest feminists. They end up, you know, making videos, giving you dating advice, trying to complain, tell how we should, you know, cater politics to women, many of which had been previous friends, et cetera. They just go so far left. But I like you. I think you go hard. I think you go rough, especially on the black men, which have lost control of their entire ethnicity. Tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, before we jump into this tough topic, which, by the way, if you're watching today, make sure you realize, and we're going to be getting your guys' input on this, because when we talk about racial hegemony, this stuff's intense. Sharika, who are you? What do you do? And give us a little background on your story.
Hi, I'm Sharika Soul, and I'm the host of the DeBested Diary podcast and The Movement. Divested Black women are Black women who have decided that the Black community is in shambles, and we're tired of being told that we need to go outside and fight police after Pookie or Ray Ray has committed a crime. It's not my job as a Black woman to dedicate my life to protecting a man like George Floyd, who's running around beating up women and robbing people. What do I gain from going outside and telling a white man to be nice to him? So I'm a divested Black woman. I want nothing to do with ghetto Black culture. I want nothing to do with fake pro-Blackness, which is really just anti-whiteness and psychoticness. And it's pro-pedophilia. That's what pro-Blackness comes down to. It comes down to protecting the pedophiles, the rapists, and the creeps and the pimps in our community. It has never been about you know, supporting good Black people, good Black men. It just comes down to letting Black people be as trashy and as ghetto as they want. So I've decided to divest from that. There's a tons of Black women who are divesters. You can find them on Twitter, TikTok, wherever social media is, there's going to be a divested Black woman account. And, you know, a lot of them are a little bit more extreme than me. A lot of them go as far to say, as Black women need to stop giving birth to Black men, because once they get to a certain age, it's hard for us to control them. You know, a teenage Black male becomes dangerous in the home. So there's a lot of divesters that are way more extreme than me. I don't really push abortion or things like that. But I do agree that Black women need to take a realistic look at what do we gain from supporting the criminal Black men. What have we really gotten from it? They're not building anything. They, like I said, as soon as they become teenagers, they become a danger to us. Your own son becomes a danger in your own home, especially if you're a ghetto Black woman. You put them in the school system and they become disruptive to everybody around them. What do we need this community for? So that's who I am. And obviously I'm a journalist and a content creator as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is interesting. Now, this is like so bad. I had just put this up. I said this app is wild. I don't know if you saw this. A tweet came out today that said, yo, Black people should start life in jail and only be released if they act right. And I know that's like totally terrible. But it was in response to a real
story.
They
shouldn't have freed all the slaves. That's what I say. They freed some of the wrong ones. They should not have freed us all, as we can see here.
It's true, but it's like, that's why they always, you know, like, it's like always when a group tells you that they've been kicked out of many countries, but never explains to you why it is that they kept getting kicked out. Or people say that, you know, Blacks were whipped, maybe they were lazy. But here's the point, is that, you know, the point is not all Blacks are lazy, and not all Blacks are like that, because a lot of slave owners, what, were Black. So, you know, people don't even talk about that. It's like, exactly. It's so easy to monolithically talk about a group of people without realizing how ridiculous it is. And let's also be true here, who brought the slaves? It was the Jews. Exactly. Who did the Jews buy the slaves from? Either Black warlords or Arab warlords, right? So, I mean, when they say the Arab slave trade too, they're just talking about you know, a certain type of Middle Easterner. So it's very complicated. But you brought this up. I want to bring up the story here before we talk about the whites, is that, look, you brought this up. This community is broken. We're going to go to the Black community, then the white community, so people can track here. Because Unlimited L's posted that 2 14-year-olds were charged with murder, robbery, and malicious wounding in connection with 3 different cases. Both 14-year-olds are charged with first-degree murder, robbery, and the death of a tobacco shop employee, Caden Martin. They are also charged with malicious wounding in connection with a shooting where a woman was shot in the face while walking down the street. The pair is also charged with first-degree robbery in connection where police said the boys robbed a man at gunpoint. Can we guess how they look? Yeah, exactly.
And Williams Hampton. He's just 14 years old, and he's facing a first-degree murder charge after Charleston police say he shot and killed 19-year-old Caden Martin on January 30th. There's also another 14-year-old charged with murder in this case, but his case is still in juvenile court. It's still sealed. Police have said Williams Hampton went into the tobacco and pipe shop on 7th Avenue in North Charleston, pulled out a gun, and demanded money and merchandise. We're told Martin complied with the demands, but Williams Hampton shot Martin as he left the store. Martin was found dead behind the counter when police got there. Williams Hampton was tracked down later that night and taken into custody. In February, police announced the second teenager was charged. They also said at the time that both teens were charged in connection with 2 other crimes in the area that involved guns. One where a woman was shot in the face on Woodward Drive, and another where a man was robbed at gunpoint in the parking lot of a business on Patrick Street.
All right, so what causes this? I mean, like, this is the second or third story this week of 14-year-olds murdering somebody. And I feel like we look at this and it's just like, you know, it's not a 14-year-old white kid who was shooting a store clerk. Like, is this the mother's fault? Is this the father's fault? Is this the controllers, the bankers who control the community's fault? Like, genuinely, as someone who's a critic of the Black community, which I don't consider you a member of, it's like the Black mafia. Really, it's like a Black gang. What the hell is causing this? Because, you know, as many people say, I'm not calling for segregation, but even the Black community is calling for their own segregation,
I am.
Their own spaces. All right, hell yeah. Tell me. What is this? Why segregation? How do we stop this? Where does this start from?
Well, that's what divestment is. You know, I'm saying enough. I don't want anything to do with anything ghetto. I don't blame white people for not wanting a ghetto, loud, fat Black woman in their business or around their children or even having in control of their laws. You know, like Cori Bush here. I don't blame them because I've dealt with them my own self. It's a low IQ education issue. But back to the 14-year-old and why that may be happening. Here's the thing. Sometimes a lot of Black men will come at me. They're angry that I say the things that I say. And the only reason I don't go directly at them is because I understand that a lot of them have valid anger towards the Black woman. They grew up with a loud, scary Black monster who was screaming Ebonics and hitting them at a very young age, calling them little nigga. What kind of life is that? To have a mother who's supposed to be your softness calling you a nigger, you know, and throwing things at you. So I understand why a lot of Black men are rabid and crazy because they've had to deal with ghetto Black women, okay? And I understand that. So I do think that when we see these violent 14-year-old, it's because they're dealing with a woman who's incapable of being what she should be for a young boy, which is softness, showing him love, compassion, telling, you know, being positive for him. He's got a dumbass for a mother who's also violent and crazy. So of course he's gonna not really know how to behave in the world, not really know how to have conversations or, you know, how to be, because look at his example. The Black woman that is ghetto, that is violent, they're always a danger to their children. That's why I'm adopted. That's another reason why I believe in divestment. The Black community refuses to take responsibility or acknowledge that Black women are child abusers, a lot of them. A lot of these ghetto Black women in these hoods, they're child abusers because they're broke, they're poor, whatever they got going on. So that's why you see, and again, the men, they should be doing better. Just because your mommy was mean to you, that doesn't mean you should abandon your child and have your child go through the same thing. But I am giving validity to the point that being raised by a violent ghetto fat Black woman is probably the worst thing to ever happen to any child. And I don't blame them. They're losing their mind. They need a hug, you know? They need a hug.
That was black music. It just started playing. Sorry. They need a hug. I know. Okay. Well, let me play that. That was right here. Like this video popped up today on my feed, and it wasn't to make fun of it. It was just like, hey, this new song's out. And I literally asked the question, what kind of culture even is this? Like, is this Black culture? Because maybe I've been in a white country, in a white city for too long to know what was going on. But damn, listen to this.
Fuck a plan B. Dumb as shit don't need work. Let them nut all in my guts and then I go and pop my purse. Let them nut all in my mouth. I think I got some on my shirt. Kept my $50 and I went and blew it on some yurt. Yeah, word around town saying I'm the hottest in the city. Pussy good as fuck. I guess that's why he turned me to a Twinkie. Threw this pussy on him. Then I went and popped a plan B. So how the fuck I'm pregnant? Nah, I think this little test tweaking. Fuck a plan
B. All right. So, I think the lyrics were like something about plan B, coming nut in my mouth. I think I got some on my shirt. I mean, look, we've all got a sexual side. We're not going to get smutty on the show. You know, a lot of us have gotten down. Some of us have in the past, maybe some of it's in the future, depending on the age on the show. Some of you guys have been good boys and girls, and that's, I applaud you. We promote that. That's what I'm saying. I promote, just because I've been a degenerate in my life does not mean that I promote degeneracy to other people. And I think it's terrible, and it leaves scars on your heart. But I've gone through degeneracy, and you don't see me rapping about nutting in people's mouths and on their shirts and stuff like that. Like, this is produced. Someone sat there, not only wrote this, recorded it, and I'm pretty sure that's pictures of her baby. That's an ultrasound, assuming that maybe she's talking about an abortion or something. Like, is this really what it's like in the Black community, or is this really just, you know, music industry artificial examples? Because I used to think it was just artificial, and it was just like, oh, this is just like, you know, some bad examples. And then I've interacted with the Black mafia, and not only are they actually retarded, like they don't speak English, but they also like don't understand like Like, they make making fun of my dead mom, and they're like, oh, he cookie ain't gonna show his face. You're like, brother, I'm white. I have retirement and savings. I have, like, investments. Like, I write. I create. Like, people, you know, they were making fun of – dude, they were making fun of my shoes having dirt on them. I don't think I've ever had someone point out – an adult point out the dirt on my shoes. And I go, damn, that's a 30-year-old that cares about dirt on shoes. I mean, maybe a woman, right. Sure. Woman should care about being clean and smelling nice. You're a guy, you're a gay-ass bitch if you care about that exactly. kind of shit. What is this? Explain this to me, because I get, what the hell is this?
Well, honestly, that's why I date white men, you know, because I do think it's dumb and it is embarrassing that black men are so obsessed with what white men do. And please, white men, please like me. Please say I'm a good boy. Please let me into your store, Mr. Good. Please go ask Oprah for a loan and get it over with. Stop begging the white man to love you. It's so pathetic. And about this song, honestly, the women are traumatized, okay? They are sexually traumatized. You have these rabid ghetto thugs that don't get held accountable. They're allowed to grope little girls. They're allowed to, you know, do whatever. This is the result, you know?
Well, isn't that cultural appropriation, though, too? I mean, aren't they the first ones to talk shit on people for wearing braids and, like, cornrows and stuff, and then they wear straight blonde wigs? Isn't that appropriation?
Yeah, I like it when white women make fun of black women that wear blonde wigs. I love the memes. I'm like, please, please keep making the memes. Because in person, okay, like you see my hair, okay, it's normal, it's nice and braided, and I'm black. Like, this is how it should look. When they glue the crusty blonde wig on their head, and then you see it in person, it looks like a Party City wig that's like been glued on with Elmer's glue, because you can see all the crusty, like it looks crazy. And they're like, I'm a baddie. No, girl, you look retarded. You need to take that off. And yes, I love it. I love it when the white people, please continue to roast all the black women that do that, because they need to come out of it. There's nothing wrong with my hair. I don't care. But I don't want to have white people hair. But I think we do look ridiculous talking about how white people are horrible and they've done all these horrible things to us. And then you go and glue their hair on your head. And also, here's another thing. Black people are always talking about how we want to be embraced. We want our culture embraced. But I went on TikTok and I realized all the social justice warriors do over there is attack white people for wearing braids. Do you want our culture to be embraced or do you not? So ghetto black people, they just want to harass white people. And I think that's what Andrew Tate was trying to say, is that, okay, it does seem like y'all do kind of let black men just bully you. And not you specifically, but just like, you don't need Ice Cube and you don't need him. Trump does not need Ice Cube, okay? Ice Cube's fan base is not going to go home and find the mail-in ballot, okay, and make sure they filled it out correctly and put it in the mail, make sure they got the stamp. He is outside smoking weed, okay, getting ready to rob somebody. You do not need the ghetto, MAGA. You do not need them. So that's kind of the part where it kind of does look a little bit like you want to kiss their ass, because you have this guy that's niggas for Trump. Niggers for Trump? What is wrong with you? He calls himself nigga.
What's Hello? His name? I don't know his name, but I was going to say, you know, there's another one of my favorite content creators, America's favorite gay black conservative, Rob Smith, had a public meltdown recently after he said that people called him the N-word at an event. And obviously, you know, that's the greatest.
He blocked me. He blocked me like years ago for no reason. And I was just like, fuck you. Like, he doesn't like me. I don't like him either. And I'm so glad you guys kicked his ass out. Kick him the fuck out.
I never saw someone that like, okay, look, I get, dude, like there is a coalition of people that are hell bent on the, it's not enough that they want to take things away from me. They don't want me to be able to feed my children. Like, they're so bitter and so angry that they, like, the things that they've even tried to do unsuccessfully that people don't know about, it's, they're illegal. Like, these people have tried to harm my family to such an extent publicly and reputation, different things. Mm-hmm. And I, you don't see me crying. I just keep making content and laughing. Right. This guy apparently got called the N-word by some white people, and he collapsed publicly, like, in one of the greatest meltdowns. And he came back online with his new show, Uncancelable, or whatever, which is great because, as you mentioned, this is the greatest content creator in the history of the world. I just wanted to check in on him. He has a new video out on this. Is his new content strategy. Here it is.
I'm coming to you from Florida, where gays are under attack. Oh my God, I can't even say gay. Apparently there's something called Miami Beach Pride, and I think that this is some kind of psyop to get all the gays together so they can put us in the camps. I have to show you what's going on here. I have to show you.
Delta is here. Delta is here. They're obviously are going to be the ones that round up the gays and put us on the planes and fly us to the camps. Tito's Vodka. Tito's is a sponsor. I mean, I don't know. I guess that they hate gays so much that they want to poison us with vodka. There are police cars painted in the pride flags. They're obviously being mobilized by Ron DeSantis to come and round us up. Capital One Bank is here. Capital One. They want to take our money. I don't know. They want to control it so that the gays don't have any money anymore right before they send us into the camps. Capital One. They're sponsoring this. They're sponsoring this terror. They're selling food here. I don't know what this is about. I don't know if they're trying to make us fat so that they can eat us all in the concentration camps. They've lured everybody here from all over the country to put us in the camps. They're going to kill us all. Look at all of these people. Look at this. I am telling you that this is a psyop. This is all
of... What kind of content is this?
I don't know. He probably took some shrooms and he's freaking out. I don't know. He probably doesn't even know where he is.
Like, but that's what I meant. It's like when the grift goes up, when the America's favorite gay black conservative is up. That? You what the hell? I guess you're right. I have been. I mean, I've probably been in a similar position on acid before. If you're having a bad trip and you're like, Delta's here, I'm gonna get, it's Tito's Vodka. Like, but it's what I'm saying is like black people to me, and I'm gonna get real here. I feel like this is why I like you, and I do like some blacks, not all, but some, is that you know, people get offended when I say that. And the reason why I say inflammatory statements like that is because some black guy like this will be like, oh, and you're a racist. I go, you know what's interesting? They go, why don't you attack white people? I go, 50% of my show is literally attacking progressive LGBTQ bullshit. That's literally a bunch of white kids pushing that. We're always talking about that stuff. But you don't see white people getting mad when we criticize the shitty ass sides of white people. Like, you don't see them getting mad. You don't see any white people being like, don't attack those weird furry kids. They're white. It's like, no, those are some weird ass motherfuckers, you know? So, exactly. So we just attack them. But when you go after a black person, DDG, I got into a public spat with him. And he even gave this interview, the most like N interview I've ever seen in my entire life, where he was like saying how I attacked his wife and you should never attack a woman. And if you attack a woman publicly, you're like not a human. Then goes on to explain how he went to attack my dead mom, who was a woman.
He won't even marry his baby mama. He won't even marry that girl. He's turned her into a baby mother. He has no room to talk.
Yeah.
DDG, but I'm just saying, right?
Yeah, he's like, but I'm saying, like, it's crazy because he's like sitting there and he's like on the podcast being like, I don't even know who he is. I don't know anything about him, and goes on to talk for 10 minutes about me and almost cry on camera because I call this bitch ugly. And it's like, dude, and he's like, you called my bitch ugly and everything. I don't care. But it's like, it's the fragility is what I'm saying. Why are black people so freaking fragile? Because I see that you trigger them too. They're always crushing down on you. Like, they're always talking shit. They are. They come on you hard. Like, you and Tommy Sotomayor, they're always talking shit. Like, bad.
Yeah. Well, that's because, you know, because they know I'm right. There's really nothing they can do. It's not like I'm light-skinned or mixed, so they can't, you know, accuse me of being, like, a light-skinned black who is close to white. Like, I'm dark-skinned. So they just come hard because they know I don't really care. They know they're going so hard because they know I don't really have a heart for them. I don't have a feeling of shame because I was adopted. I know that they're child abusers and they're crazy. Why would you keep coming up to an adopted black person and trying to convince me to go outside and tell everybody how great Black men are. How great was my Black father? He's a failure. All his kids are, you know, I'm adopted. I was adopted. I'm calling white person mommy, you know? The Black community has a bunch of Black kids calling who have white men as fathers because they're failures. So they know that. They know that I'm like, you know, the kryptonite. What are you going to do? I'm the proof. You're child abusers. You're ghetto. You're trash. It's crackheadville over there. Nobody wants that. I don't want that. That's why you lose your kids. So of course they go hard on me.
Like, you know,
I was born in Chicago.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I was going to say, because did you have a hood phase at all, or like an identity crisis where like you more identified with the community? What was that like?
When I was 18, I did. And that's like something that my trolls like to bring up, you know. When I was 18, I just wanted to fit in. I had a ghetto Black boyfriend. He knew some people. I ended up agreeing to travel to LA with his friend. You know, it wasn't a good, I woke up very quickly. You know, the year of 18 was like, oh, I'm an adult, I'm gonna go, I'm gonna do my thing. And obviously I'm thinking I need a Black man. I need to be around the Black people. I need to be the best. And I ended up in some very, very tricky situations that, you know, at the end of the day, I have to take accountability for choices I made as an 18-year-old. But I realized those aren't the people I want to be around. I don't want to go on any more music video sets because it turns into prostitution in the porn industry. There's nothing a successful hip-hop Black man could offer me in terms of a life that I really wanted to live. And unfortunately, I learned that very, very young. You know, I learned that in my teens. I don't want anything from them.
Well, and you shouldn't. And that's why we're going to swap to talking about Andrew's statement about white people. We know Black people are not doing well. But the question is about what Andrew said about white people. Is it true? Before we talk about that, I want to give a huge shout out to one of our new sponsors for today. So my friend Lauren, she's been using this product called, it's called the Echo Go Plus by Airwater Healing. And she's talked to me a lot about it, how good it is, how much it keeps her hydrated. And the thing is like, you guys know my background's in biology. And your body is basically all water. You're actually made up of 80% water. And then a lot of people, it seems like on TV, are made up of the rest hot air. But the kind of water you put in your body does affect your health. You actually are what you eat. You are what you put into your body. Your body doesn't always absorb all the water. Not all waters are created equal. There's other kinds of water, such as tap or bottled water, which of course, you know about the hormones in that. You know what's going on there. It can be dead, acidic, and even poisonous. 70 to 80% of the immune system is housed in your gut. Contaminated water, poor diet, and pesticides weaken your gut to nearly 20% functionality, which, you know, that's a big concern about from me on the show, is that you take care of your gut. You press the button on this right here, on your Airwater Healing Echo Plus, and it begins to infuse your water with hydrogen. It ionizes your water and brings it to life. This hydrogen-rich water goes down into your gut, and you can feel the difference in your energy levels as you drink this hydrogenated water. The air difference of it is healing. It increases anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties in your body. It also increases your energy by slowing down the aging process, improving muscle recovery after a workout. Over 1,400 studies prove that by neutralizing these harmful free radicals in your gut, hydrogen water has been proven to help regulate heart disease, diabetes, reduce wrinkles and skin issues, and it can even speed up wound healing. The UVC2 light kills 99.9% of harmful germs and bacteria, including E. coli. And it also comes with a 5-year warranty, so it's not shitty, okay? This is not a piece of shit plastic thing that's going to break. You got a 5-year warranty. Even my Hydro Flask only lasts like a couple years. Go to airwaterhealing.com. That's AirwaterHealing.com. Airwaterhealing.com. Use my promo code OFFENSIVE for 10% off discount. Replace your dead water and feel your energy level surge. That's airwaterhealing.com. Promo code OFFENSIVE for 10% off. Check it out today. Shout out to them and some of the new sponsors. We are going through some sponsor shifts. I've been looking for some new sponsors. And the key thing is guys, I've been trying to find sponsors that align with our values and that won't drop us. Because as you know, we've gotten 7-figure deals before with companies like Black Rifle Coffee, you know, Tommy John's or different meat delivery systems. And then they drop us for something a guest says. And then they put pressure, well, we'll come back if you censor yourself. And at my old network, we used to put a lot of chains on me to push those advertisers, but I don't want the show to be beholden to advertisers. They work for us. We don't work for them. We're bringing them eyes. They don't get to control our content. So sometimes I get into beef with advertisers over the content. And so we lose advertisers because I just won't change what we say to make them happy. I'd rather just speak my mind and count my blessings other places. I don't know how you feel about that, Sharika, of just like these advertisers having too much damn ego talking to people, being like, well, you know, we don't agree with what you say. Bitch, we're not putting your product on our show because you agree with what we say. We're putting your product on our show because people fucking drink water. Like, that's why. Okay, you're a water, like, this is a cool company where it's like men have low testosterone. It's like you're not on here because you agree. You're on here because there's people and you want to reach Americans. Like, if you don't understand that, that's ridiculous. And I feel like these advertisers control all these companies. How big tech controls is they just demonetize people and they threaten them with losing money, and then they control them and they essentially castrate them. That's what white people are the most upset about. White people are not honest about their issues publicly because tech companies and people have made it financially de-incentivized to talk about white issues, to talk about what's going on in the white community, how to become strong as white people, as a white collective. That is de-incentivized. That's why I think white people don't talk about it, because they're beholden to the god of money. That's my personal opinion. Oh, well, someone muted you.
Let me see.
Sorry, you were muted there for a second. I don't know what happened.
Oh, it's okay. And I think the liberal whites, I think the women on the left, they really do care. Like, they really care too much about not hurting my feelings. And I'm trying to tell them, stop dating ghetto black men and turning yourself into a baby mama. You know, and they don't want to say the truth, that they're afraid of ghetto black women because a lot of them are violent and will try to hit you if you say the wrong thing. And it's like, that's not going to hurt my feelings. I feel like that's the problem, is y'all care too much about hurting my feelings. Okay. Why would you care about Pookie things? Like, why? Black people talk
Who's
about
Pookie?
Each other on ghetto black men, like gas station lurkers, the kind that stalk your 18-year-olds around when they go to the gas station in the hood. Gas station lurker. Please make that a thing. Ghetto gas station lurker.
Ghetto gas station. We also just call those average black men between ages of 14 and 21.
Exactly. I had to figure out a way to say it online because I've never been locked. I've only been locked twice in the 14 years I've had my Twitter account. But that was one of the times when I was talking about black men. And I'm a black woman. So I started calling them gas station lurkers because I felt like, you know, it's not that bad.
No, but do you think that white, do you think that with, so Andrew Tate saying that white people are pussies, like, I don't think they are. I really do think that we're crawling out of a pit. Like, I think that we're in hard times creating stronger men. Like, I'm from Los Angeles. I was like this metrosexual, you know, weird kid doing drugs, just sort of like, you know, obviously my back, I'm not retarded, like intellectually, like I, you know, my background's in genetic engineering, molecular biology. Right. Like, I mean, I was off to become a professor, et cetera. And so, you know, I sort of like to portray myself as being stupid because I am retarded. I genuinely am, but I can function. And I think as I woke up realizing, like, you know, science is gay. You know, where I grew up is stupid. I decided to go ahead and get married. I wasn't really ready to get married. I've had to learn as I go. It hasn't been a perfect road, but I'm committed to see it through. And, you know, I still talk like I drank too much tap water in Hollywood. You know, things happened to me there that I wish never happened as a child. There's things that I can't undo. I was a full-blown degenerate. I still suffer with some of the consequences. And so, you know, in the end, but I've never intentionally harmed anyone or committed a crime against someone. Like, any of my mistakes in life have just been, you know, recklessness, right? Or just like whatever. Right. So I'm not here to condemn anybody. You know, I'm not here to come out and just, you know, blow the lid out of the water. And people always try to like expose me, like, he's done cocaine. Hell yeah, I have. But I also
I don't think drugs are bad. I just think if you do them in a way that's irresponsible, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that bad to say? I don't
know. No, it's not. I just say this as a dad, I'm trying to not like have any more nights where I'm like drunk and then do a bag and then in like feel like at 6 in the morning wondering where God is. like naked, alone in a bathtub, and then having 3 days recovery to get my dopamine levels back. That's all I'm saying. Where I'm like trying to not do that. I'm trying to get better. Although I'm not doing the greatest job. I'm trying to have a rebound in terms of like you got to be stable, man. Kids are crazy.
I can't judge you. I do shrooms like twice a month.
A day.
I like to have my, you know, meditation, and you know, shrooms are very spiritual. So some people might think that's like bad because it's that, you know, people think, but I'm pro shrooms. I'm pro psychedelics over here. So I'm not judging.
No,
obviously, I don't do a crack around the baby, but
like I and I would say this too, not all drugs are equal. Like, let's be honest here. Like there's a little bit difference between legal meth, like Adderall, and then like smoking like crystal, you know. There's difference between like doing lines of good, you know, blow in Miami versus like smoking street crack. You know, I mean, I'm just saying like there is a difference. Like, and like, yeah, there's a difference between, you know, like hitting a joint versus heroin. Now on a spiritual level, I think that substances separate us from the presence of God. Personally, I think that shrooms is a medicine that can be used to like correct your mood. Yeah. It healed my depression. But I'm at a point in my life. Yeah. Do you want to talk about that? How did it heal your depression?
The world is crazy. I honestly was like suicidal, and I was on Reddit and I was just searching, and honestly this post came up and it was like, I took shrooms and now I'm no longer suicidal. And I was like, oh my god, I need to try this. So anyway, I found some shrooms and I took like 2.5 grams. Honestly, I was like suicidal the day I took the shrooms, and I don't know, the whole thing just like went into my brain. I saw myself, I saw how far I'd come. It was like all these different perceptions that I had about myself. And I was like, you know what? I need to keep living. And yeah, it sounds corny, but that's really what happened. I found shrooms because somebody else said it helped them with their depression and helped them stop feeling suicidal. And I didn't want to feel like that anymore. So I took the shrooms, and ever since, it also helped with my anger. You know, I felt like sometimes when I would get angry, I'd be a little bit aggressive. And I really feel like the shrooms helped me, like helped change my personality and made me more aware of how I deliver, how I communicate when I'm upset. Honestly, it's crazy, but shrooms changed my personality for the better.
I could buy that. I like genuinely. No, I can buy that, because what I don't like is this is. The reason why I tell people I'm not a conservative is I don't play the political pronouns. I'm more close to like a racist than a, I'm just kidding though, but I'm more close to the founding fathers in terms of like, I really could, people say, do you mean you're racist, sexist and stuff? I go, I guess those are more modern inventions of words. I'm just more in line with the founding fathers. Like, basically I have a realistic view on race, realistic view on sexual dimorphism. I have a realistic view on sin. Were the founding fathers perfect? No. Some of them, you know, were at least one was alleged to be having affairs with his black slaves. You know, some of them were getting that chocolate. Some
well,
of
look at me. Around. You know, they wanted to have affairs with us, honey.
Oh, some of the boys. I think we got some of the boys in the chat too. They're like, hell yeah. I think some of the white boys. I think you're single, right? Still single?
Yeah, I'm single.
See, there you go. Slipping aside in your DM, boys. But as you saw from Destiny today, be careful, because if you're too creepy, then your DMs might get leaked. Can we also say that too? Even for my biggest enemies, I think it's so sick in the public world how like there are people who have my, by the way, nobody that's ever attacked me publicly, they have my phone number, has ever called me, has ever spoken to me privately. They just attacked me publicly. So I know that people are full of shit. Whenever people don't talk to you privately and they know you and they have your phone number and they go after you publicly, you know that they're a bunch of fucking idiots. But I don't do that back to people, because I find that to be beneath this show and me to like sort of, you know, invent rumors and lie. I think it's immoral, and I think it's gross, and I think they're all going to hell. So they can live with that. Burn in hell, bitch. But at the same time, fundamentally, it's like when I say that, you know, my views are like not conservative, it's because of my actions. I'm not retarded. I'm not going to say I'm America's favorite gay black conservative, realistically, because that's like counterproductive to say you're gay and conservative. You can just be gay and not be hyper progressive. You could just be like liberal, right? So you could at least be honest. So I don't play that game. I've just made a lot of, you know, fatal errors throughout my life that has caused me to be a product of my environment. And now I'm unlearning those things and I'm gaining traction to be the best that I can be. And I think that message needs to come out, which is why I try to be really blunt and honest about my errors and mistakes. I don't try to back away because I'm not here to try to tell everyone, look at me. I'm better than you. I've been perfect. Right. You know, we have plenty of those people that are pastors and people on stages that are like, life's been good. And we have plenty of people that are living in those errors and trying to make you accept them. No, just do OnlyFans. They promote the degeneracy. There's a lot more of us in the middle going, hey, look, I'm kind of a fuck up. I don't live to hurt anyone. I don't live to be malicious. You would have already found out about that with the amount of people that have come after me if that was really true. And but I'm retarded. So I make mistakes sometimes. And the best I can do is to fall, get back up, ask for forgiveness, and keep going and keep working towards a better future, and then not letting my life be defined by my mistakes, by my errors, by my transgressions. And I wish more people just had that realistic shit. Everyone's like, well, I hate cancel culture. Well, how do you combat cancel culture? You just refuse to let yourself be canceled. And the reason why people get canceled is because they get exposed for something that's maybe shameful or not, you know, they're not happy about, or they've been hiding, or maybe they just did something wrong in the moment, which is fine. We're sinners. And then they choose to hide. They hide. And then they've effectively canceled themselves. But if you just say, hey, look, yeah, I don't care. Oh, yeah, I've just done some dumb shit in my life. Whatever, let's keep going. I admit it. Let's go. You're really not going to be able to be canceled, because what people hate in this world are people who are hiding their sin or hiding it and pretending to be better than you. But when you're just upfront about it, like, yeah, I'm kind of fucked up, but I'm trying my best, I think people can relate. Like, and that's why I relate to you too, because you're not like, you don't hide your past. You're not, but you don't put it on blast, and you don't like go out there and try to say you're better than everyone. You're just real and say, look, I've learned from being a retard too. And I'm not going to let you other retards who have embraced your idiocy talk shit on me, because at least I fucking learned from it. I learned, you didn't, or I'm learning. At least I'm trying to learn, right?
Exactly. Amen. I mean, that's how I feel. I don't really consider myself conservative, or, I mean, I'm closer to extreme far right than anything, you know, especially with my stance on Black people having nothing to do with ghetto Blackness. Just get away from the Ebonic speakers, ban them, deport all of them back to Africa. Why are you talking like a slave? Why are you talking like a slave? And then you wonder why they didn't hire you for the executive position. Nobody hired the slaves for executive positions. They picked cotton. So anywho, you get what I mean. I'm a normal person. And here we all together. I don't know what this is. Conservative, apolitical. But I never wanted to be a cringy MAGA Black Trump supporter. I find that to be very cringe. I think Trump is great. I think conservatives are great. But I think the whole concept of being a Black Trump supporter was cringe. I thought it was kind of dorky, you know? And the people that they picked were dorky. They were dorks. Nobody cares about those dorks, okay? Nobody's listening to them. Nobody knows who they are. They have nothing spicy to say. It's just they put on a red hat and they had like 400 followers and they you know, did what they did. I'm just a normal Black girl who was born in Chicago. I was adopted. I had to deal with these ghetto Black rabid people. They almost destroyed my life because of the ghetto craziness that was going on in the projects in the 80s when I was born. I'm 39. I know people sometimes think I'm younger than I am, but I'm 39. And so I have a real bone to pick. And I don't know what you call that, conservative, apolitical. I'm just tired of ghetto culture. And I feel bad that people are not able to say, I feel uncomfortable around ghetto, violent, loud people. I don't want to be in a store with them. I don't want to hire them. I don't want to live across the street from them. sorry, we should be able to say that, because I don't live near the ghetto blacks. I don't talk to them. I won't even go into areas where there's a large group of black people. If I see a crowd of black people, danger, walk the other way. And I'm black. So why can't white people say the same thing?
Well, we can. We can because look, I was laughing. I don't know if you saw this. Like, so things have gotten so out of control in white culture today that students walked out of Nebo School District in Utah to protest the school for allowing furries to terrorize other students. I don't know if you've been to Utah. There's not a lot of blacks there. Students claim that furries bite them, bark at them, and pounce on them without repercussion. However, if they defend themselves, they're the ones who get in trouble. Here's a clip of the student walkout. This is like the weird part about white culture. Check this out.
So are they wearing a mask every day?
Yes. But every time they go, they're always just wearing a mask. But the principal finally stood up and banned those stuff.
But they still wear them every day.
Yeah, they don't get in trouble. The principal doesn't get to make them get in trouble.
Yeah. All the principal says is just be kind, be nice, be nice. And then...
What's the point of dressing up like a furry?
They think they're so cool that they want to get a lot of attention. So people can come at them and just look at them and think that they're so cool.
Okay.
Also,
are you guys going to be in trouble for walking out of school today?
No, maybe.
Do your parents know you guys are out here?
Yes!
They attack us.
If they bite us and we just kick them, we get
kick
in trouble.
Them.
They attack us and we get in trouble.
How else do they attack you guys?
They bite us, they scratch us,
they pounce on people.
Why are they spraying you with Febreze?
Because apparently they're putting litter boxes in the girls' bathroom. I heard that was just a rumor. No, it's true.
Is this something you've seen?
Yeah, they're putting litter boxes in the bathroom.
So we can't talk or say anything to the furries or even look at them, but they can come look at us and they can say stuff to us and touch us. And they don't get in trouble, but we get in trouble.
Interesting. That sounds like a double standard to me.
Yes.
Wait, okay, you guys stay on the sidewalk, okay?
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's wild, right? My son's homeschooled.
Oh my God. They're so adorable, right? Those kids. But you know what? Those kids are smart though. Like that's the difference between black kids in the ghetto and those kids. At least those kids understand that a furry is weird and they should kick it. They should kick it as hard as they can and run away. That's smart. I'm like proud of those kids. They're like, I'm proud of those kids.
I think, ultimately speaking, it's like that. That's what I say about the, like the white kids. Like we can call our own people out. Like if more black kids walked out of school over ghetto black kids, I feel like we would absolutely, get somewhere with this.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to say about this, is that it's absolutely weird that black people feel like they can't call each other out. Now, I think it was in 1980s, maybe it was early 90s or late 80s when Whitney Houston was at the Soul Train Awards, probably was the 80s. And everyone booed her when she won the award because they said that she was Whitey Houston, right? It actually plagued her entire career because the black community said that she was too white. She spoke too eloquently. Her music was too poppy and too whitewashed. And they booed her when she went to go on the stage, the black community, for being Whitey Houston. And it's like, you know, Whitney Houston, she looked really beautiful that night. She was wearing like a white pantsuit. She was put together. And it's weird to me how blacks don't want other blacks to succeed. And if you succeed in a way that's perceived to be civilized, like other than just like spreading your pussy for a rap video or... I'm saying like, really, like if you just like, you know, become an intelligent human being, even if you get into Congress, you still got to talk like a straight N. Like you can't just be a person who happens to have black skin, like Condoleezza Rice or something like that. Then you're a coon. Then you're this or you're that. And, you know, even worse are the blacks that come into to right-wing media and become really pro-Zionist, which is like ironic. They're like, I used to be BLM and now I love Israel. You're like, so the Jews still control you. You just switched which ones control you. Like you're just controlled by the same people. You're just having broken out of a system. What's up with that? Like, what's up with that? Is it a It's because it can't be a slavery mindset, because blacks in London are the same way. Like, black people all around the world that I've traveled the world, in Australia, they're the same way here. They're like fucking crazy and they're just violent. Like, it's the gangs here are all black and there's no slavery in Australia. There's never been. Sudanese people right. were never enslaved here.
I think it's a DNA. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but
you can say it. Yeah,
I do. I like I said, when I took the shrooms, it took away some type of aggression that I had when I would get frustrated. I don't know how to explain that, but I do. I think it's DNA. You know, being adopted, I'm going to explain this. When it was time for me to go and meet my black family, because I'd been raised by a white woman in a predominantly white community, I was mostly white, going to Chicago, I felt like they were animals. Like, there was such a difference between the white Iowa, Ames, Iowa community that I grew up in and how they talked to each other, even how the store clerks behaved, how people passed each other on. It was completely different. It was like being around a bunch of monsters. And I was terrified of these people. I was only 15 when I went to Chicago to meet my real mom for the first time. I was terrified. Like, I literally thought they were monsters, and people don't understand that. And I'm sorry. Like, if you look at Africa and you look at America, the roads, the infrastructure, the judicial system, the organization, white people are just more organized. They're more focused, they're more organized, and they have a I don't know. I don't know if it's like what it is. Their thought process and the way they feel about how things should be done, they go together. You know, for the most part, it works together, becomes an organized thing. Like, we know there are 17 parts to running a business. Black people are like, we need the box, we need the door, and we need this. All right, good enough. This is so horrible, but that's what I believe. I believe that it's the DNA, and there's just something there that makes the way we process things different than how white people see and view and think and process. The difference, gather, hunter, I don't know.
Yeah, it does bring up a really interesting topic, which essentially could probably be a little too hot for YouTube. But I want to talk about it. So let's go ahead and let's finish the rest of the show on Rumble. But before we get out here on YouTube and X, I just want to give a huge shout out to one of our sponsors for today, which is Purge Suddenly. Guys, so check this out. This has been so good. So one of you guys just messaged me and told me that this cured your IBS. Somebody else said it cured your son's IBS. One of you said it took away your bloat entirely and that I was wrong, that you weren't pooping, that this was to just made your gut go down. So Purge essentially helps reset your gut bacteria. It's advertised as clearing out parasites, which essentially are negative organisms in your body. Your body is made up of mostly water and also a lot of your cells, like up to 40% of the cells in your body or more are literally foreign organisms, bacteria, gut, different symbiotic organisms. Now, some of those are not like co-symbiotic. They're parasitic, meaning they're just living off you. They got in there unintentionally. And this will help clear it with a bunch of natural ingredients. But I've told you guys, this will actually cure a lot of other issues in your body. Because a lot of people don't realize, as I knew this person named Neil and Ann Beale, they lived to be over 100 years old, I think 109. Maybe, I remember he was 99 and riding his bike around town. That's how crazy it was. And he always told me, death starts in the colon. And so this is a really good product because if you've been dealing with bloat, irritability, gut issues, you got to do a gut cleanse, okay? Just check it out at purgestore.com, promo code Elijah, get 10% off. Look, you don't need anything. You don't need to trust any claims or anything that the product makes besides the fact that I'm telling you from experience, this will cure some of your gut issues. You haven't tried it. But don't drink alcohol while you're taking this. Just take this, eat healthy, and clear your gut, and it will reset your life. So if you've been dealing with stubborn, you know, bloating gut, it'll help you lose weight too. It's pretty cool. Go to purgestore.com, purgestore.com, promo code Elijah. And I get new comments all the time. Anyway, if you're watching on X or on YouTube, we're going to be heading over to, we're going to be heading over to, what's going on with my chat on YouTube? We're heading over to Rumble. So what you're going to do is you're going to go to rumble.com/slightlyoffensive, and you're going to be able to get yourself over to Rumble. We're going to finish the rest of the conversation there. We're going to be talking about whether or not the issue with the Black community is a genetic problem. Is it a processing issue? We're not saying like DNA therefore less valuable, but DNA therefore different. And is that difference causing a disadvantage? Why are not all Black people the same? And also discussing what makes white people better. Are we really pussies? Is part of our issue that we are susceptible to outside influence? And another question I want to ask as well, as someone said, is that when we abandoned paganism received Christianity, that's what weakened us. I disagree with that, but that's what's being said on the internet today. Anyway, we'll go on a 2.5-minute break. We're here with Sharika. Sharika, go ahead and plug yourself before we head over to Rumble only.
The Bested Diary podcast, and you guys can find me over on X at SharikaSoul84.
Great. Cool. Let's go ahead and let's set the 2-minute clock, Brian, and then we'll head over to Rumble only. We should be back. I'm good here, and I'm back. I had to switch seats actually because my camera actually broke. No pun intended. It genuinely fell apart. So I have no idea what happened there. But it looks like the camera actually just blew up. And I am joined by my guest, Sharika. We're having a quite sensitive topic here, basically discussing the realities of Black differences. Now, you guys can send super chats as well, which is super important. We appreciate it. What was that? Did you hear a smoke alarm beep?
It wasn't me.
I think it was me. I think my smoke alarm beeped.
You're the ghetto one.
No, where did that come from? I literally did not play that. I don't know who did that. So let's talk. Like, it wasn't me. I just heard. Did you hear the beep too?
Yeah, I did.
Who did that?
I thought it was me. I was like, oh no, what a horrible time.
No.
All right. I was like, wow.
All right. Well, let's jump right into this. Okay. So on the reality here, you brought up something interesting. Now, people don't realize that there is a difference. Genetics does make us different. And the thing about genes is that it's kind of like genetics for dummies. Just because you share DNA does not mean that all DNA is activated. At the very core basis, DNA essentially is a coding mechanism that is going to code for RNA, which is going to end up building components, which those components are going to end up building structures. Those structures are going to end up building, tissue. They're going to end up building more complex matrices. And eventually those all work together to create systems, which is an organism, right? Now, that's the body. But with the body, there's also the spirit of a man. There's also, like they say, the soul, the personality, right? The human sector and the connection to God. But we're talking about the actual genetics. And, you know, to put into perspective, certain types of snakes have the DNA to code for legs and arms. But due to issues of corruption with things called like start codons or start sites or trigger sites, they end up not being able to produce arms and legs. And so I want to be clear that genetics can very much be misunderstood in terms of like, you know, just because we share something with the monkey does not mean we are monkeys. So I don't want to go down that route. And I don't believe in evolution. But I do know that the way that your body does have a certain similarity of genetic, differences. And I know that Blacks share less common genetic frequencies, from my understanding, or similar expressions with white people than white people do, say, with Asians. Or with, I'm not even using the anthropological terms here. We're just keeping it very simple, like genetics 101. So I know a lot of people get in trouble with this stuff. But my question to you, Sharika, then, if we're kind of going down to the basic level, is it that our DNA creates an expression of a person that then changes the way that we process and we think, therefore we function differently? knowing that there will always be outliers. And they say 5%, let's say 10%. There will always be 10% of blacks who don't really function or think like the majority of blacks for whatever reason, because it's called epigenetics, because of outside influence, they may have a different expression or development that creates a different type of perception and processing power. But is our DNA linked? Do you really think so? Is that why they don't let us talk about that? Or is that just like racist mumbo jumbo, you know?
I don't think it's racist mumbo jumbo. And I think black people know, whether they want to admit it to themselves or not, that we are different. When I deal with my birth family who's in Chicago or Davenport, the way they talk about people is almost as if they are animals and white people are normal beings that are walking around. They talk about themselves from the perspective of, I'm a black nigga, you know? And so I do think black people, black community, we do know there's a difference. What that difference is, I don't know that we have the vocabulary to have those type of discussions, but even I know that there's a difference. There's a difference between me and a white woman. We have different skin, different skincare needs, et cetera. We age different. Like the DNA has to be different, you know? As everybody, when I said I was 39, there was, you know, they were like, what? Yeah, I'm almost 40. And it's normal for a 40-year-old black woman to still look like she's 30 years old. You know, I don't know about other DNA and how that goes, but that's one of like the most obvious that we do have different DNA. And I think the next obvious thing is obviously Africa versus Europe. You know, they had castles and a whole barter system and all these things that took a thought process and what is, there's a need here that needs to be met. And I just don't think that black people, Africans, have a sophisticated makeup for that. Not saying that they're dumb or we're not whatever. I'm just saying that it seems to be a more sophisticated DNA makeup when it comes to decision making, self-awareness, the big picture.
Yeah. So I think where the issue comes from, and I think why I get not nervous, but just sort of like want to fundamentally understand, is that when we're talking about any type of other species, particularly, let's talk about close species. Let's talk about like a class, right? Or like go to a phyla and talk about something like a specific type of finch or something, right? Where you may have like different species of finch. They might be similar, but you know, usually different species have to do with the fact they don't mate with each other. And that can be like they can't produce viable offspring. It's not even usually by choice. And this depends on your definition of what another species is. But, you know, the idea that, you know, if a dog has sex with a white woman, which apparently this is happening more often than I'd like, which is I'd like it to be zero. So it's happening more often than not. You know, that's two different species. You know, you're having sexual intercourse. This is gross. The dog's getting aroused. The woman might be too, but that's not going to produce a dog-human hybrid, right? That's two different species. And so when you're talking about this, like, I don't think it's safe to say that we are different species because we can reproduce. And there are people right in the chat that apparently would like to reproduce with you. You guys need to calm you. You guys need to calm down, for fuck's sake. Calm down. Okay? calm down. The chat was like, some people are like, calm down. All right. But I think what is the most important thing is that it doesn't mean, though, and I think this is so interesting. When you do look at something like finches, which is the most basic biological textbook, you still can see there are behavioral differences due to genetic deviations. And it's seen in almost every subset of species from bacterium, right? When you're talking about literal like prokaryotes, then eukaryotes, and you go up the ladder, behavior changes based on your genetic differences. And so I think it's really weird, and it makes me question what they're not talking about race science to us as people. When you bring up a question and the response to it is you're a bad person, it usually means they're hiding something. So if I say, right, do our genes make us different? That's not even a bad thing. But that doesn't even mean anything. That's not mean. Like, I didn't say different in a bad way. It could be that black people would run a society differently than white people, and they don't function well in a white society because they don't function like that. And that could be almost trying to help black people. But instead, you're told you're a racist. And I think it was, what's his name? I forgot his name. But someone got kicked off YouTube for asking these questions before. That's why I know they did. Stefan Molyneux got kicked off.
Molyneux.
Yeah, Molyneux.
That's his name? I don't know why Molyneux. I said it wrong.
I called you Shakira when we started the show.
That's okay.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm not a geneticist. I'm not an anthropological geneticist. I don't look at the history of our genes, but I can tell you that I feel like they're hiding something. There's something different about black and white people that might be down to a genetic level that they don't want us to know, because every time you want to know, they tell you you're a racist, you're a Nazi, you're this, and they don't tell you that you're wrong or that you're incorrect or that you're going down a bad path. They just tell you you're a bad person, which means I think they're hiding something. Do you agree with that?
No, I agree. And honestly, there's no helping black men, black women, unless we can talk about our DNA and why we're aggressive. We are an aggressive race. It is a default for us to be aggressive. I'm not saying other races don't have aggression, but I just feel like there is something linked to who we are, the passion, the whatever that can sometimes often be translated into physical aggression, you know, that type of behavior. And until we can talk about that, what are we doing? You know, if you can't sit and say, like I had to sit and say, okay, being aggressive is not good. I need to figure out how I can stop that. Because if I don't stop being aggressive, people aren't going to want to be around me. They don't want to be around an angry black woman. Why am I like this? What can I do? And that did come from me realizing there's something about me as a black woman that causes me to be like that. And honestly, I can't imagine the average black person being willing to have that conversation with themselves. Why am I aggressive? Why am I angry? Why do I want to twerk? Like, I'm just joking on that part, but you get it. Like, it takes a lot of introspective to be that kind of person. And I'm just an introspective person. So I care. I do care sometimes how people perceive me, especially in a public space. I don't want to go into a business and have somebody think that I'm going to hurt them or that that I would wish them harm. So I have worked on, you know, what are the things about me that I need to fix? And that does link back to DNA. Aggression, education, dyslexia. I think a lot of Blacks are dyslexic, which is why the Ebonics and the illiteracy is just obvious. The spelling, our inability to spell correctly, the way we see the words sometimes can be backwards, but nobody talks about that. And that comes from DNA. And if you, there even are studies where people talk about a lot of Blacks have dyslexia, have those types of, word processing, letter processing, how we look at words, those type of issues. And that is obviously DNA, but we can't talk about it, obviously. You and I are talking about it, but it takes 2024 to get here,
Well, so this is what I think is fascinating, is I think that there's an entire cover up about our history from the very beginning, because they also try to say, anthropologists, archaeologists even try to say that we come from Africa, and that's just objectively not true. There's a debate whether we come from Siberia or whether we come from the Middle East. There really is. There's a debate whether it's the Middle East or Siberia. Not that we were all white, but that there is a difference, you know. And I think that race is important, because even the Bible says, like, the Cretans, you know, all of them are dishonest. They're vile. Why are they all dishonest and vile? What is it about them? Is it just their culture? Maybe, but culture then comes from what? Collective conscience. What does collective conscience come from? Individual perception. Individual perception comes from your genetic makeup. And I've described it to people. I don't want to go into detail for those who watch this. You know, the way that languages even develop, people say, well, you know, people act differently because of their language, right? Some people are quantitative, some are qualitative. So time is not singular and linear in some languages, which is why they're always late. I don't understand Black people because they do speak English, but they still are always late. This show runs on Black time. I'm notoriously late. I've been hanging around my brothers for too many years. That's the problem. But right. But I also say, yeah, but where does that language develop from? And what is the difference? And when God at the Tower of Babel like separated the men and the nations and gave them different tongues, why were they different? Was it different because they just spoke differently? What changed them? Well, he might have changed their DNA. And when you live geographically apart, we see this with all species enough, there is already separation of genetic expression. Things do happen, which is why we don't marry our first cousins. We have to change the allele frequency. We have to kind of introduce outside genetics into our gene pool. It doesn't mean we have to interracially marry or miscegenate or whatever people say. You know, I know Black guys get really mad when Black girls date white guys. A lot of white guys get really mad when white guys date Black girls. Like there's a mix, but guys are horny regardless, so oftentimes they ain't knocking anything. That's just the truth, right? I mean reproduction is one thing, but one night stands are another. So a lot of guys talk a lot of shit on the internet, but their standards are a lot different when it comes to getting lucky than when it comes to reality. Like, you know, oh, that girl's mid. Brother, you haven't pulled ass in like 6 years. Shut up. Okay, like you don't, you know, Sydney Sweeney's mid, buddy.
She's, you know, hot. She's gorgeous, I think.
Yeah, I don't know where people say that she's mid from. Like, I think she's like a prototypical like white queen, but that's my opinion.
She's very
there.
Pretty.
But yeah, they call them Sydney Sweeneys. But it's like I just find it to be a little bit counterproductive to somehow be saying that like it, what we observe genetically in every other species is this, but in humans that doesn't apply. And we're all equal. We all need to get along. How about this? How about I get along with the Blacks that are worth getting along with? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? But how does that put any responsibility on Blacks? It's like, oh, well, you guys just, you know, we all are equal. Damn straight we're not. Y'all leave your neighborhoods as quickly as you can. Look at BLM. They got the shit out of there, man. I'm serious. Look at all these Black, you know, movie stars and shit. They don't live in Black neighborhoods. They don't live around Black people.
Never. Beyonce doesn't even go to the BET Awards. She will not physically go to that award show.
Really?
Yeah, she doesn't go. She will not show up to the BET Awards.
Why? Because
the ghettos are there. She doesn't want to be around them. She doesn't want to be around them. It's obvious why she doesn't go to the BET Awards. She doesn't physically show up.
You know, I've been to the BET Awards. Do you know that? Do you know I've been to the BET Awards?
Wow, what'd you do?
When I used to work in LA, I worked for managed an entertainment company, I should say, and we were charged with doing the BET Awards. And I met Snoop Dogg. Pretty cool. I met Snoop Dogg, 50 Cent. Like, I've been around. I've been around with the homies. I've been getting down with
them. But you know what? Rappers, right? You know, like,
yeah, well, they're not real. Snoop Dogg's like actually just a normal guy. Like, it's all a front. Can we talk about the Tupac gay shit? Can we get into that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is he gay?
Let me play Thug Hunters. Play the video.
Let's talk about Thug Hunters. Because let me say something really quick.
Go ahead.
Black men put out this lie about me that I'm a woman. This is why they're stupid and honestly why I don't care about their trolling. First of all, anybody that goes and looks up that video of the ghetto gagger woman eating watermelon, you're gonna see right away I am not that woman. Okay, I have a very distinct voice, I have a very distinct face. I'm not the woman eating the watermelon. I am, however, one girl when I was 18. That's 22 years ago, guys. I'm a 39 year old woman now. I'm no longer 18. But you know how upsetting it would be if I did to Black men what they've been doing to me? Because I could talk about Thug Hunters. We could talk about how Black men are letting white men, you know, bend them over, how Black men are going on camera and letting white men call them the N-word and bend them over. So, you know, we too can play that game, but I'm too classy to post stuff like that all over the internet. But I just wanted to say, when you're talking about Tupac and the gay thing, yeah, a lot of the ghetto thug type of guys, they are gay and they like white men. I think honestly, that's why a lot of the aggression comes from the gays, from the ghettos, the Black men, because they just want to be with you. That's why they're jealous of me, because they saw that white men in high places find me attractive. They're jealous of me because they wanted to be me. They want to be in the bed with the white man. So I just wanted to put that out there. You should have never started that rumor, because karma's going to spin the block. Thug hunter, okay? Y'all are thug hunters. So don't talk about black women dating and having sex with white men when you do it too, Pookie. Thank you. That's all I had to say.
Yeah, get it, girl. You'll see. I'll start to get a black sin. I'll start to come out. My LA, I'll just start getting ghetto on you too, because it's like, I think it's funny, you know? And the reason why I don't really fuck a lot with women and gays in the movement either is because they're just so dramatic and they love blowing smoke, which I learned that one from a black person. See, I know my ghetto. They love blowing. Is that what it's called? Blowing smoke, right?
Like, well, I'm not ghetto. I was adopted, so I have no
idea. Yeah, but you know the ghetto people, though. They come after you. They come after you hard. But I'd be blowing smoke. But I don't like any of them because they're just being fags and, you know, and annoying. So
right.
For the most part, I keep it real. And then I'm also smart enough too, where I can have a podcast like this where I can talk shit, but I also do the news and I also have, you know, contracts with people and I keep things very kosher. And I know how to keep the balance, but I don't want to sell out. So I'll never stop doing this so I can keep it real and like fascinating in terms of my own brain. Cause I get bored with the news, the Democrats, this. I mean, I even read articles for the Gateway Pundit and I have to change the wording when I'm reading them because it's like pro Hamas protesters are removed from the street, and I change it to pro Palestinian because there was no evidence that they supported Hamas. There was no evidence. It's just right. It's so the right wing media, you know, or like at the end of everything, they'll blame the Democrats. And I'm like, well, you can blame Democrats for your cities being shit, but really it's just black people. Like realistically, Democrats run West LA as well. They run Beverly Hills too. And it's pretty damn nice there. You know what I mean? Like Vermont is Democrat, but it's pretty damn nice. So Maine is Democrat, you know? Why isn't Maine ghetto? It's because these ghetto ass blacks. And I don't like to talk, my friend Drew loves just ripping into the black community more than anyone I've ever met in my entire life. And I don't really love doing it. It's actually a pain in the ass for me. It's just like, I want better for the black community because I grew up being told that it was Democrats, you know, why LA was so bad. And really, Hispanics are just kind of ghetto. And blacks and Hispanics are just killing each other. It's gotten a little bit better since the 90s, but come on, the blacks were killing each other, the Bloods and the Crips. You had MS-13, you know, and this stuff's gotten a little better in LA, but it's still pretty bad. Let's talk about the Tupac stuff, because this is interesting to me.
Go ahead. Please don't feel sorry for ghetto black men and what they're going through. They are men, okay? They are 200-pound men, 6 foot, carrying guns. Nobody needs to feel bad for them or want better for them. That's why they're taking advantage, because they see the white man sitting around saying, I want better for the black man. Who cares about him? Let him go. That is the only way that a child gets up and becomes an adult, is you have to kick them out of your house and let them fall. And that's what white people need to do with black men. You need to kick them out of your house and let them be the losers and fall as far as they're going to fall, because that is the only way black people are going to get up. We can't keep sitting around saying, I want better for them. If you want better for them, be done. Be done with the public displays of coddling. No more coddling black thugs who carry guns and sell crack to their family members. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve, oh, we want better. Do you think the crackhead is sitting around saying, I want better for the white community and their children? They don't give a single fuck, Elijah. Okay, so we got to be done with the public coddling.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm all for that too. Like, and that's when I see these videos, I don't do drama like this and like, oh, I don't care if this person's gay or not. None of this matters to me. This guy's dead. Okay, so I just like, people always accuse me of breaking my own rules. This guy's dead. This isn't gossip. This guy's alive. This guy's not alive. This is allegedly a video of Tupac. Now, everyone knows he was a trained ballerina, from my understanding, and he grew up in like a white school. But this is Tupac before the rap industry. And this is when I say that Jews control blacks. This is what I mean by this. And I'm really glad, you know, Kanye was talking about this, even though I know Sharika's got her own problems with Kanye and all these people. She thinks, you think Kanye's gay, right?
I know he's gay. I literally have an NDA, okay? I saw it. I have the email. I worked with a client that was going to be on one of his music videos. He sends NDAs over to all the women that come onto his music videos. The NDA literally said that nobody was allowed to look Kanye in the eye and nobody could comment on his mannerisms, AKA that he acts gay, that he exhibits gay man behavior, okay? Kanye is like, let me just be quiet, because, yeah, anyway.
I exhibit gay man behavior. No, I'm just, I have, I,
well, that's
I'm
what a the NDA camp. Said.
I'm a bit that's camp, but I don't make people send NDAs. I let them roast me. Go fucking roast me. Like, I think it's good. It's good for my soul. Talk shit. I think it's funny. The chat's pretty savage to me, but I enjoy it a little bit. And I only cry on the weekends. No, I'm just kidding. I do want to watch this.
You saw
my
rant where I was going off about Kanye.
I did. Yeah. I was like, damn, girl. I was like, shit. Like, but I saw this. And the reason why I think this video is important is not because it's like, okay, he's gay or whatever. Because, you know, ninjas be
allegedly,
gay. I don't,
allegedly.
Like,
I'm going to throw a bunch of allegedlys in there.
Right. But I don't care about that. I don't care. What I thought was fascinating about this is that it shows you how the rap culture is manufactured to push a sort of image on blacks and how easily you can emulate it by just putting on an act and how much it's fake, right? This hard ass shit. These are softies. This is, I'm saying allegedly Tupac because we're in the age of AI. And so I'm never going to get myself caught by saying confirmed this is him. But check this out.
Okay, my name is Tupac Shakur, and I attend Tampa Pi High School, and I'm 17 years old.
Do you like being
17? It's like 17 is such a weird age. It's such a in the middle age. You're not 18 yet, and you're older than 16. So. But I like it. It's nice. It's like a learning stage for me.
Do you wish you could be 18, and when you get some more rights?
Well, 18 will bring lots of responsibilities that I don't want, but it'll bring respect that I feel like that's the only way I can get it. You know, I try to be as mature as I can be and demand it wherever I can get it, but 18 is like you're an adult. You like today when I had to sign the release form, I felt so bad because I couldn't sign it myself. I had to go and get my mother's and all that, but 18 is, it's just society's way of saying that you're ready.
Wow.
But 17, like, I think I'm ready now, as ready as I'm gonna be in this world. But so it's okay, I guess 17 is all right.
Great, great. Well, how do you think you're most like your mom?
I'm most like my mom because I'm arrogant, totally arrogant. I agree, I have to say it. Like, at work, I can't hold a job. I just quit my job today, actually, because I wanted to come and do this. And they wouldn't let me. And I felt like it was important, and it was more important than serving pizza, and we had enough people, so I felt like since I'm an actor, they should understand. They should have let me do it, but they didn't. And then I had a cold, so they were making me work in a freezer. And I'm really not one to be disrespected, and I felt like that was disrespectful because I asked to go, you know. So I quit, and he told me I couldn't quit, and that even made me hyper. I'm arrogant, so when he told me I couldn't quit and we had all these customers, I chose that time to jump on a soapbox, grab my leather jacket, light a cigarette in front of him, smoke, and leave in the middle of a rush. So that was natural. That's arrogance at the top. That's what I think I'm most like my mother. And she likes it. She'll see it in me and know it. And we clash a lot because I'm arrogant, she's arrogant. And you should see us when we get in our little attitude moods.
What the hell is that? What is that? Who? Okay, I don't know what that is. That's got to be Brian being retarded.
Black trolls.
No, I was like, no, that's my Alabama director there in the chat. So I thought that was really interesting because, like, I mean this genuinely. It means nothing to me if I don't listen to rap. I don't follow rap. If Meek Mill and Diddy are gay and if everyone's gay, it's okay. That doesn't change my life because I don't know. I'm not a dumb black person who like bought into their like, you know, shtick. But now the South Park Kanye West likes fish sticks. That makes sense though. So there's some industry thing going on that all the tough black guys are homos, and That is that the joke? Is that what Matt Stone and Trey Parker were making fun of? Like, I'm not a gay fish. Is that what that was about?
Well, it's so funny because remember I told you about the NDA? You know, a lot of people know that he was sending NDAs out telling people not to comment on him, you know? A lot of people knew that. And then Amber Rose, his ex, came out and kind of solidified it. And then she was like, oh, you're just mad because I'm not going to play with your booty hole anymore. Remember she said that? Like, she tweeted that some years ago and Black Twitter went crazy and was like, we know you like it in your butt. That's when the South Park thing came out and was, you know, it was coming from all of those rumors about the NDAs, about all that stuff. So, yeah, I agree with you. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I think it's fascinating because what it shows you is how much of the world's a psyop and how much it's like you can just play a part and play a role, right? You can just be out there and pretend to be something or somebody. You can go out and pretend that there's some, you know, greater purpose in your life to influence the Black community. But it shows me that the Jews actually control the Blacks. What's up with Kanye then? I think so. Do you agree with me on that? I think the Jews are nefariously destroyed Blacks and control them. They're like puppets for the Jewish people. They just milk money out of them. The white countries, they do it by taking control of the banks. The Black community, it's by like controlling Nike and entertainment. And like, because you get some Black guy who would be blaming white people for the reason why he can't get ahead in life, and he's got more expensive shoes than me. Like, I mean, straight up, like, what the hell? Like, where? Go full screen, Brian. Go full screen. What are we rocking here? Where are you, Brian? Put me full screen. Are you listening? All right,
Brian.
He's not listening.
There he is.
He's not even listening. No, I did.
He's
that.
There. He's
We're not
it.
Giving
I see
any
you.
Any credit. So look, I've got some dirty. I've been wearing Reebok shoes pretty much exclusively for like a long time. I'm wearing an Undertak, t-shirt. It's nice and fitted. We're good. We're in shape. It's very nice. I'm wearing a hat that is a line of cocaine after that you didn't get straight. And I'm drinking a Costco energy drink, zero calorie. Like, this phone is like 4 years old. Like, I run my entire life off of like an old phone and nice. My life is ghetto. So, but this is the thing is like, white people don't give a shit, right, about that kind of stuff. Oh, and someone said they're tight pants. These are not tight pants. Shut the fuck. It's just because I'm bending. Like, these are RM Williams. This is like as baggy as you can get. They just got washed last night, though, so they haven't stretched
nice.
Out yet. Yeah, it's RM Williams. Thank you. It's RM Williams, which is actually, by the way, guys, they fit really well. It's a very famous Australian brand because I'm out here in Australia, and they're very, very nice, and they're better than Levi's. I don't want to support Zionists, so I don't buy Levi's anymore. So I buy, I don't want to, as you can see, I'm a little bit upset with the Zionists recently. A little bit. So,
you know, honestly, I don't pay attention to that stuff. I know it sounds like, oh, I'm dumb or whatever. I just, as soon as I just saw that it was like becoming a thing, I was like, I don't know. I'm trying to not to get killed by a Black man. You know, like, it's not the cops I need to be worried about. It's Black men who I most likely could get shot and killed by. I don't know what's going on over there. And as far as the Jew thing, I never talk about the Jews either. Not because I don't agree with like whatever or like have thoughts about it. I'm so focused on trying to get people to stop feeling bad for pointing out that George Floyd was a crackhead, that he was a Black ghetto guy that was running around. Like, I'm just too busy to care about all that other stuff. But right. to Tupac thing.
I was just saying, I just think that what the Jews do is they take the gays, turn them into a ghetto thug, and then that's how they control them. Because then they're like, dude, all these Blacks hate gay people, so if I were to out you as a fag, then they would want to kill you, and then the moment that they try to break free, then they murder you. That's my opinion on how the Jews control the Blacks. They blackmail them. They promise them money and stuff, but then they don't realize how complicated the blackmail system is. And that's like with Kanye, maybe it got so bad that he had to convert, and now he's like buck broken and back in, you know, he's got his wife around naked, like, you know, well, he's got daughters and shit. Like, it's, you know, wild.
Can I say something about that? Because
you can say whatever, honestly, you want. We're on Rumble. Say whatever you want.
Oh, when I see Kanye do that, honestly, I feel like Kanye does that to taunt non-Black men. He feels like the white man, whatever he feels about it. And so he's like, look, I can turn your woman into a slave. I can make her walk around naked. I can be in control of her. You know, because he doesn't really date Black women, because we're going to hold him accountable. You know, I feel Black women would want him to. He's stupid. Why doesn't anybody realize that he's like literally dumb? Like, was it not the Net and Yahoo thing that he did that, why don't you understand? He's a ghetto Black man. He's an imbecile. Okay. He thinks this low, white man bad. I must be the white man. Now, I do applaud him for going outside the box and saying what he needed to say. But at his core, he is a ghetto Black man. Do not give him the keys to anything in the White House. Okay. Because the equivalent of a crackhead will be controlling the Treasury. That's what's going to happen. And I don't understand why the right is so obsessed with Black rappers. Why are you obsessed with
them? Well, I don't know, but I think what it is there's sort of like an archetype of sort of an obsession with something that's marketed to you. And so what I think is the importance of marketing is that when you take the existence of a man out, so white people have been stripped of their identity. And I've said this because there's no financial incentive to be masculine or to be white. How do you climb the corporate ladder? It's by being a beta in the streets, and you can be an alpha in the sheets. And what I mean by that, I don't mean in a sexual way. What I mean is like, it's okay behind the scenes if you want to be nasty and sexist and, you know, talk about these things like in private dinners, right? One-on-one with the boys. But in the corporate world itself, you've got to be very, you know, basically accustomed to putting women first, to putting down your sexism, not to harass women, right? Because the bar for sexual assault, harassment, these things is so low today. The Me Too movement, you know, the bar for racism is so low, right? Humor, jokes are all considered racist. It's insane. Now, that's what I was going to say. So white men have been deconstructed very much, more than just men themselves, into not exemplifying strength. And when you exemplify strength as a white man, when you want good things for the white culture, for society, you're actually not just like de-incentivized, you're actually silenced. Like, tech companies will destroy your voice. Right-wing companies will not hire you, as you see, like even Candace Owens is not a white male. But if you start talking about anything about the people who control white men, et cetera, you get taken down. And we have so many homosexuals, like LGBTQ, like they left the community and now they're suddenly right wing kind of people. A lot of ghetto Blacks and stuff that sort of run and rule with the Zionists, the right wing movement, that white men have no leadership. They have no examples and no one to look to, really. So the culture's not defined by these white men. And the only white men that are elevated are these betas. Now, even if you're masculine, more masculine than me, like Travis Kelce, or people that, you know, are overtly, like objectively, at a biological sense, more constructively masculine, they're still betas. They're pushing vaccines, you know, they're twerking on the stage, you know, whatever. They're playing second fiddle to Taylor Swift. So then that leaves a vacuum. And I think that Black men, whether it's fake or not, or whether it's forced masculinity because they're secretly gay or whatever, and they're afraid of being outed, that there is this sort of fuck you culture, this sort of, you know, I'm tough, I'm a thug. And it's really just the confusion of men, white men, that's not the kind of toughness we're supposed to be exemplifying. But there is a draw of men to being like, I do like guns. I do like the idea of like, fuck with me and I'll shoot you. You know, I'm tough. Don't touch me, you know? And there's this sort of, even if it's manufactured, I think young white men lack so much of that's why they're all, especially here in Australia, and even in England, they all gravitate towards this ghetto Black culture because that's the only approved form of masculinity that's allowed to be expressed. So you can't be a white nationalist, Nat Sock, you can't be a Whig Nat, you can't be a white supremacist, but you can be a ghetto Black, it can be a Wigger, right? So that's my theory personally, is they're drawn to the masculine bluntness, but they're retarded. And so any white person who listens to a lot of rap music, I automatically know they're retarded. Like, I'm like, oh, you're
retarded. All rappers are retarded. Like, it should be really obvious. You know, the people that are not, they just go get the well-paying job. You know, they just go be a doctor or a lawyer or something. They are retarded. They're like screeching Ebonics into a microphone and then have convinced themselves that that has that equals a king, that builds a kingdom and a, you know, a society. Like, they haven't done anything. They literally haven't done anything. And they all owe money. All those rappers, it's all fake. You know, I was a celebrity publicist for a while. They all end up with $3 million, owing $3 million or more. They sign those contracts. They're broke.
Right. Well, they're not as rich as they say they are.
No, it's fake. Yeah. Yeah, it's fake.
Yeah, because I've noticed that too, is that like a lot of black people like to point out in white communities, like they're always saying like, oh, he poor or something like that. Like, first of all, we don't spend our money. And I don't walk around I come on my show and I tell people I'm poor. Like, I go, everybody, I got paid $35 this week and, you know, I'm homeless. And like, I don't care. I could be a multimillionaire or I could actually be poor. It's irrelevant to me what people know about my financial situation. I don't find it, like, if I was rich, who cares if you know about it? Like, it's about me and my family. And if I'm poor, what does that have to do with you either? That's me and my family. But I realized, like, that's what I was like, oh, he poor. Oh, he ain't got nothing. He's nothing. He didn't wear Reebok shoes. And you're going, dude, do you know how many rich people like drive Toyota Corollas and because they just didn't want to invest? They invested their money or they don't find it to be valuable. Do you know how many people I know live in $30 million houses but drive $20,000 cars? You would see them on the street and think that they're just a lower class, lower middle class person. And in reality, they're worth more than, you know, your entire city block. So it's like, but I don't know what that is of the needing to prove publicly that you're something. Where does that come from? Like, because I know you don't identify with that. And I'm not asking you because you're black to you would know that. But like, what is that? We're like, that's why they're mad at you. You know, they're mad at you because you don't give off the black vibe. You're not giving off the way they want you to be. And they're mad at us because we're on a different standard. What was that also manufactured or was that like a cultural thing? Like, I don't get where that comes from.
I don't know what it is. What it is this. I mean, that's why I think rappers are retarded and I don't like them. And they're embarrassing to me. Because why are you buying a huge piece of jewelry to impress another man? Like, that's literally what they do. They go, it's $500,000, and they're too stupid to realize that the jeweler that they're buying this over-expensive jewelry from is probably scamming them and marking up the price out of this world. They're like, oh, I'm bragging. I got a $200,000 chain. You got scammed because you're a dumbass and you don't even know how much that jewelry was actually worth. And you let somebody sell it to you for $200,000. It's only worth $30,000. They spent all that money. And they don't have nothing left and they go and they have to pawn their chains. Who, by the way, as a woman, when I see a chain on a black man, I'm not like, ooh, he's so sexy. Yeah, his chain. I think it's gay. I think only gay men like bright, big, shiny, glittery things on other men. I find it gay. I've never been attracted to some big chain. And again, I think it's a sign of being stupid because I know for the fact they're being upcharged for that piece of jewelry. And then they're bragging about it, that they got scammed. I spent $200,000 on this chain. It's probably like worth $5,000 in real life. Like, honestly, there's probably Swarovski crystals in it and they can't tell the difference.
Yeah, I don't get me started. Let me real fast, Brian, real fast, play the pause screen for a second because I'm going to go over to the other computer real fast because my screen broke and I'm going to gather the super chats. We're going to go through the super chats together, interact with the chat a little bit. While I'm going over there, actually, we won't go to the pause screen. For people who just joined, tell them how they can find you, follow you, and support you. Try to fill a minute of time so I can run over here real fast and check something real quickly. All right, go ahead. Sharika, tell them how they can support you and then we'll go through super chats.
Hey guys, you can find me on Twitter /X at Sharika Soul. That's SOAL 84. And you can find me there. If you're friendly and you talk to me a lot, I will definitely follow you back. I'm not one of those stuck up people who won't follow back. If you send porn to my DM, you will be blocked though. But I'll follow everybody else. I'll follow everybody else back. You can also find me on the Divested Diary. .com. That's my website. I'm way more uncensored or whatever you want to call it on my website than I am anywhere else because I don't have to worry about anybody taking me down or reporting my post. Yeah. So hope to see you guys soon.
Excellent. All right, we're here with the super chats. Let's get into them and let's see what they had to say. Noticer I am said, missed your birthday the other day. Happy belated birthday and really appreciate all that you do. Noticer I am, I see you in the chat all the time. Thank you as well. You guys are awesome. It's really appreciated. And we're around here all the time. Shauna Fong said, Tate is mad because we reject his pimp persona. Do you agree with that, Sharika? Like that, do you think that Tate is legit? Do you think that he is authentic in his perception, or do you feel like the critics are more correct than wrong when it comes to him?
I think the reason Andrew Tate tweeted the thing about white people is because that's how he sees himself. He does see himself taking advantage. He knows he's done all this crazy stuff, but it is a lot of white men that come out and stick up for him. And he knows what he's done. So that's why he sees them as weak, because they're not even willing to say what he's doing right in their face. He knows that he sat on camera and told a bunch of men what he told them. So when he tweeted what he tweeted about the white man, that's because he is living that reality. He is a black man, whatever you want to call it, that basically has white men bending over backwards to kiss his ass every single day, begging for his attention. And he knows that. So he means everything that he says. And he is mad that, you know, there are people calling him out. But that's what he truly believes. I truly believe that he sees his position as this person of color that's able to come in here and get the white man to do whatever he wants because they're too afraid or they're so obsessed with him being a person of color and associating with him. They either need him on the right to prove they're not racist because they support Andrew Tate, or they need him on the left to say, hey, you know, we don't be racist. We support this guy. He knows. He understands what he's doing, and he knows that he ain't shit. Okay. He's ugly. First of all, he doesn't even have a jaw. Like I have more of a jaw. Okay. And I'm a woman. Than Andrew Tate.
That's great. Yeah.
It is interesting because even me, I got to work on my jaw a little bit, but you know, we'll get there eventually. I do think it does make me angry a little bit. It does bring the perception to me of like, I do like what he says about men, and I do like his message to men in terms of basically you live in a gynocentric world and there's no appeasing it. That's kind of like my perspective. It's like there's no talking about race while trying to let people know you're not racist. Like you either got to go balls to the wall and just do it and not apologize and realize that people are going to try to destroy you. Or you'd like you're just unapologetic. But when he talks about white people like that, it's like, dude, you can talk about, you know, the way Zionists have destroyed Western civilization, but they've literally destroyed your Muslim nations with bombs. Okay. So like, it's like, oh, white men are pussies. Like we're having babies. Yeah. But your countries are, they suck. Like how's Libya? How's Syria? How's Yemen? How's Iraq? How's Palestine currently? How's Iran doing with the sanctions? Like, you want to come in here and be like, well, we have a lot of babies. Yeah, and raising them in squalor and in a crappy society. Like,
and abusing them.
And then when you guys come in, how's London when it's become more Muslim? How are the cities coming around that are more Islamic? They're not great. And so I got into a conversation with Sneeko about this. And I'm like, look, you guys can have your caliphate. And I know Christians think that I'm weak in that terms. Like, no, we should take over the world. I'm saying in the moment. Like, let's start with some real direction here. Let's get Muslims out of the West.
Can you imagine?
I don't want Islam in the West, right? I don't want those people around. I don't want them, you know, proliferating. And it's like, no, not do I think Sneeko's a bad guy. No, I just think that Islam is low IQ. And I don't think that it is a culture. I don't want Sharia law. I don't agree with it. And I don't think it's good for our country. I don't think it's good for the West in general. And I think that it invites in a third world, right? I think that Christians... someone's like, well, poor Christians are causing problems. Nah, they're really not. These are Muslim men. So
a black man that I dated a long time ago told me that the reason his family, his father, and this is a famous person, I'm not going to say who it is, but I dated his son off and on for like 3 years. He's one of the main reasons I also have a lot of problem with the ghetto black men because, but anyway, he told me that they had converted, his father had converted, in the 90s to become a Muslim, and that the main draw was the story of Muhammad and his wife. Black men have a really low IQ understanding of what Islam is. Their basic understanding from the Western interpretation, which is the only place they would get it from, because they're not going over to Africa and having somebody explain Islam to them. They're only getting their interpretation that's coming over here, is that it's okay to be a pedophile. That is their understanding, that the woman is that it's okay. That is all their understanding. That's why Sneeko is hanging out with that Muslim guy who is very open about thinking that it's fine to marry nine-year-olds, and he's gone on camera and said it was fine to marry nine-year-olds. Sneeko is a black and white guy who has a very Western understanding of Islam. That was his draw to it. They are pedophiles, you guys. Black men, that's why they attack me so much, because they know I'm telling the truth. They talk about white men sleeping with their daughters, but there are so many families in America that are built on incest that are completely black, and you would never know it, because nobody in the black community, in our community, in the ghetto, the darkness, this is normal. It's normal to sleep with your father in the ghetto. It's normal to sleep with your cousin.
What is I didn't it? Do that. I didn't do. I literally am not pressing. I don't know where that stuff's coming from. I'm not joking. I'm not doing that. I don't.
But that's what I mean. Okay. I feel like Sneeko and a lot of the American blacks that want to be Islam, you should not trust them, and you should look at it as side eye, because they have a Westernized understanding of it. They're not Muslims who are over there and have whole different understanding, a whole different way of life, because it's predominantly Muslim over there. Okay. Over here, it's predominantly Christian. They have a very basic, immature understanding of what it means to be a Muslim man. And it has to do with young women and those type of sexual degeneracies. That's the only reason, in my opinion, black men want to be Muslims, because that's what they understand. And a black man, that came out of his own mouth. He didn't say he wanted to be a pedophile, but he was alluding to the fact that, you know, Muhammad married the nine-year-old or whatever. You control the women, you know, the women have their place, all this stuff. But he talked about the nine-year-old. So for me, I feel like that's what they all think, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Not nine, maybe 19, but not nine. Let's not go there. Shauna Fung also said, so the vast majority of FBA are descendants of blacks who chose to stay with their slave masters post abolition. I think it's supposed to be abolition. What does that mean? What's FBA?
What? Oh, that's foundational Black Americans. It means that we are descendants of slaves. Like, I am a descendant of slave, because my real last name before I was adopted is Banks. So yeah, that's definitely a plantation slave owner name, Banks, whatever. So that's what Tyreek talks about, Tyreek Nasheed, when he says FBA. It means Black people, not immigrants, not the, you know, the whatever that are coming over here, the Somali and all that stuff. They don't like them. Just the actual Black person born to a slave, and then we had to have come from a slave that was here in America. That's what that means.
All right. He also said 50% of freed slaves stayed with their former masters as employees. Half of the half who didn't ended up dying of various causes. It's probably true. Cocteau said, huge day uncensored, compound censored with Gav and Ant. Four new random vids from Gav plus Pat Dixon's New York City crime report. But here I am live with my favorite ginger homo. Thank you, Cocteau, for that. Also reminding you guys that you can see that there right up here. Make sure that you get a Censored membership. It's Censored TV. You get this show, Gavin McGinnis. You wonder where he's been. He's there. And so much more. Plus, we're demonetized literally everywhere. On YouTube, etc. Even on X, they demonetized us. I don't even know how that happened. I feel like Kevin G from TikTok a little bit. Like, I don't even know why that happened. Like a little kid. I don't even know how we got demonetized, you know, on that. It's crazy. But somehow, no matter where I go, I get targeted, censored, lose out on deals. Maybe it is because we're a little too real on the show, but I think we keep it pretty chic here. A couple more. Let me bring a couple more. We have, let me go down here. Here we go. I'm going down. Here we go. Where's, I guess it's a little bit hard to like get through all these. I wish they had like an easier way to read these, because there you go. Shauna Funk said Jeffrey Dahmer wanted the world to know he wasn't racist. He ate black men because they were the only faggots he could find. Okay. Bill Dozer74 just sent $5 to say fish dicks because he can. Because of Kanye. And I don't know if there's if any more has come in since then. But I think we're good. All right. We also have a couple from here from the locals chat. One says, Drummer Merrick says, braids were Viking long before blacks, dumb people. I don't know. Is that actually true? I know there's a debate over where braids come from. Why does it matter where braids come from? Like, couldn't people have just, you made braids everywhere because it just made sense?
I think all races have worn braids. Asians, Hispanics.
Yeah, isn't that, the Japanese did braids. The Chinese did braids. I've braided my hair. I used to have long hair. I've braided my hair before. So there it is. We also have Primetime Pimp said, hello, my beautiful ebony ghetto chocolate Nubian queen. Might it be possible for a strong, scholarly white gentleman come and colonize you, my gorgeous midnight black beauty?
That's great.
Are you rich?
Oh, are you rich? That's so good. Are you rich? Anyone can be colonized for the right price, right? That's so good. Real Dandy Andy said Brian is on fire. And there's a bunch of Brians being thrown out of a plane. Doomsday Cracker had sent a picture of you with a plant on your head. I have no idea. It's a meme. But to the rest of you guys who are here, thank you so much again for watching. Don't forget to support our sponsors for today. You guys, we have the awesome testosterone booster, which you can get, link in the description. You should check it out today. We also have the amazing Echo Plus, the water ionizer, which is amazing to help your gut, and the gut cleanse from Purge Suddenly. So check those out. That directly supports the show. So if you're like, you know, somebody and you don't want to get a membership to support the show, but you want to get a product, you can support yourself by getting cool things while also supporting the show and supporting good companies that support free speech. They don't support the things we say, but they support our freedom to say them. That's different, right? I think that's crazy. When someone sponsors a show, they're saying, I just think that people should have the right to speak freely. I would sponsor shows that I disagree with entirely. And just if I wanted to hit their market, it's a product and my goal was making money, sure. Anyway, we'll do one more time. Sharika, go ahead and plug yourself. Tell us where to find you, where to follow you, how to support our, I don't even know what that means, our Nubian queen, but I guess we'll go with it. If people want to colonize you, where can they find you?
You can find me on X at Sharika Soul, which is SOAL84, Sharika Soul 84. If you're nice to me, I'll follow you back.
If you're nice. All right. My name's Elijah Schaefer. Thank you so much again for watching another episode of Nightly Offensive. This is the best worst live stream on the internet. We're continually supportive of you guys. We thank you for watching all the time. This is not the first show where a camera broke in the middle of the show, but that's what happens. However, I'm not upgrading the studio because I'll be out of here sooner than later. So I'm just going to keep it kind of ghetto where it's at. We'll keep it real. I got to go change the batteries on my smoke alarm. I'll see you tomorrow night at censored.tv with our exclusive show, which is Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern time. You can get a membership 20% off with my promo code OFFENSIVE. See you there. Have a great rest of the week. Shout out to my guest, Sharika. You've been great. It's been a pleasure having you, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.